is the 8th day of July, 2026. And this would have been my mom's birthday today. So little memory there. She's a July the 8th person. I remember that because mine's November the 8th. So take it away, Pop.
Okay, Ron. Yeah. Good remembrance day for sure.
Yeah.
And, had she been here, she would have been 87 this time. And, now I was always a year and about 2 weeks, about a year and 2 weeks older than she was. And, had her for, about 59 years and 9 months. And, we got married at a little church. It was her home church when we started dating. And then I started going down there some with her, and I had a lot of friends was going there. At least some of them I thought were my friends.
Some maybe not.
And some maybe not. After we got involved with Larry, it was a good experience though, but I kept telling people, the day that Noah carried Bobby Ann to the hospice house a couple of days before, he met her demise, but, it just so worked out to where she died on my mother's birthday. And my mother had been dead for a little while, and a few years. And so we was in the hospice house. I took in no breakfast that day, and it got up to, 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I said, I'm going to go down and get me a fish sandwich or something. And I think Troy went with him. Was it you? Did you go with me?
I mean, it's Troy, yeah.
I think Troy went. We went down and got something to eat, got us about to eat. And they called and said, you better get on back up there if you needed to be there when she passed. And so we did. And, we got up there, this lady was singing Amazing Grace. It worked in the hospice place. Now, she was a pretty good singer, but she could lift some of her makeup at home. But anyway, I sat down beside the bed. I think Ronnie was on the other side. And I reached for her hand, and she felt my hand, and we kind of locked hands there. And, the lady finished singing the song. And, right after that, well, Bobby Ann just turned loose in my hand. And, I looked at my watch and it said 2 minutes after 4 o'clock. And so, this was on the 24th day of May, and we were married on the 24th of August. And so that was 59 years and 9 months to the minute from the time we walked out on the vestibule or walked outside. It was St. Baptist Church. It was either 1 or 2 minutes after 4 o'clock. So I had her for exactly 59 years and 9 months.
That's amazing.
No minutes before, no minutes after. But it was good old times. Wonderful days that wished it could have been longer, but never is long enough.
That's fact.
Well, some people think it's way too long, maybe, but I enjoyed every minute of it, I think. Pretty much every minute. But like everybody else, you have good moments and bad moments, but the good was many, 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 many more than the bad for sure. Turn with me to John 12 again. And we made it through John 12:31. We were last here. And that's where we'll start back again because what made me remember this so well is Ronnie and I were talking about the glorification of Christ and that when that come, that Satan had to go off the earth. And so he was excommunicated, I guess, if that's the word you could put with it. Because he's no longer on the earth anymore.
Yep. So, he got ejected from the game.
So
he's coming back.
He's coming back. But he left this old world, if nothing more than maybe just in the outer space somewhere. But, that's where we got to. So, but when we looked at it, and we read it. So I want to go back and pick up with 31 again. It said, now is the judgment of this world. This world now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And so, that was a situation there that, you never catch God without a plan and a way these things work for him. And so, this was truly that time for that because, everywhere that Jesus went, was not good for him because the people had fallen away from God to the point where they really didn't believe a lot as to what was being said. But you find these little jewels here in John, and this is what I love about it. You find these little jewels in John where some did believe, and some were believing, but for the most part, they was not in line with what was going on, but we had these here from, nearby for the, Passover feast. And we had those that had come from when Lazarus was raised from the grave. So, I'd say they were quite a few that were there and they were some proselytes there because some come and made a point to some of the other people that were there that were Greek speaking individuals. They said they wanted to see Jesus. That was the reason they basically had come. And so, we realized that all these things going on and at the time of the year that it was and so forth, there's quite a little crowd there now. Two days before the Passover. So it said, Jesus answered and said, they heard this voice. and they didn't understand it, because if you weren't a believer, you wasn't going to understand it anyway, because generally speaking, if you can't believe the Son of God when he's standing there in the group, or when you're sitting there listening at him teach, and you still can't believe what he says, then how do you think the Father is going to deal with you? Either then, or maybe at the last day, as the word says. So it says, in verse 31, that is the judgment, or the crisis, K-R-I-S-I-S, crisis. Now, 177:7, i.e., the crisis reached when the world proclaimed judgment against Christ and his claims of the world. It says, now shall the prince, or basically talking about Satan, the ruler, the archon, and that was applied to Satan as prince of this world, or the prince of the cosmos. And that's at 129:1. Be cast out, or thrust out, or in the Greek it is the word exo. And the exo means to be without or outside. So this was what he was given when it was known that the time to be glorified was now. Okay. And verse 32 says this, and if I be lifted up from the earth, and the Greek is upsu, and that occurs 20 times in the reference to the cross, said, I will draw all men and that word is helku, reads as drawn. It says, unto me. So it says, and if I be lifted up from the earth, this 20th time that it happened in the book of John, we'll draw all men unto me. He said, this is what I come for. I'm here to draw all men unto me. So he didn't come there to be a judge at this moment, but he came there to give his life and his breath, to set it up to where it would come when he and the Father and the Son talked about coming and doing this thing even eons ago before it ever happened. And I honestly believe that it was a long time before this it got to the point of where God was repopulating the world. And but everything was in place, and it's kind of, it really gets my mind a little bit with the things that had been planned and the things that were laid out there and had been foretold all these hundreds and hundreds of years before, to the point that when these things happened, either Jesus met these people that he was supposed to meet and talk with, or healed, or bring them back to life like Lazarus or whatever. These people were in place. It was like, kind of like you dump it out of a little puzzle on the table and you got all the pieces there and you get them all turned over there. Yeah, this just goes right along. But, you know, that's the way it had been set up to do. And it had been foretold. And this was what bogged a lot of people's minds there, that they would be a word that somebody would say that hadn't been used before, or it was a very uncommon word to declare these things that were going on that we call a miracle. And one of them was Rima. And when the people heard that word, we'll get to it, man. But when people heard that word, it was kind of new to them. But when it's used as a word rather than part of a sentence, then it does that to people. But when it's used in a sentence that had been written before or had been used before quite maybe several times in conversation, but if it had been in God's writ there, oh, well, yeah, I remember something about that. Yeah, and it kind of takes away the what they might concern would be secrecy of that thing or not knowing. It was like when Jesus was at Jacob's well, and he gave to Joseph. And he was sitting there waiting on his disciples to come back with food or whatever they went to get. Man God come up with a bucket and a rope. And it was just Jesus and her, you know. And then he said, well, now give me something to drink. She said, why are you here at the well without anything to begin with? Well, he could have used the word Rima for that, because that was the reason she was there. And he was there. And they had this time. And he said, well, she said, well, who are you? And she thought he was maybe some kind of rabbi or something or other. She didn't know it. But he said, well, if you knew who I was, he said, we could have talked about this living water. And that then triggered the point where they got more into the conversation. And then she began to realize that she had seen it in Holy Writ or heard it somewhere, maybe in a synagogue, before she had turned her back on God. And in the course of the conversation, well, she said, well, I'm going to tell my husband. She said, well, you've had many men, and said, the one you got now is not your husband. So she realized then that, yep, he was somebody that had knowledge of things that she had heard a little bit about but didn't know anything about. And she went and told him, and they came out to the wedding. Well, this is, all this kind of stuff is it's mind-boggling to me, because it's, you know, you might get you a little trip up to go somewhere and It might be 6 or 8 months down the road somewhere. This has been centuries. This has been on, and this man knew about it, and it had been written about it, and he told about it, and she recalled it. Once she recalled it, well, and she knew she was talking to somebody that was mentioned in the Word of
God. Messiah, yeah.
Yeah. Not a problem. So, verse 33. Thus he said, signifying what kind of death that he should die. So, he signified there when the glorification was done, and it made it clear the reason why they couldn't take that stone and kill him. They tried to for a while, and they couldn't get him.
Multiple times.
They couldn't get him dead. He'd turn around. Next thing you know, they couldn't find him. He was not there.
Walked up through the middle.
He just walked out through. No problem.
Okay.
So, it gets a little deeper here. And we get in, look at verse 34, and it says, the people answered him, we have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. How sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Where is the Son of Man? Well, it's like the woman at the well. I got him right there and still can't believe that he fits or fits into the description of someone that had been mentioned way back in Isaiah, especially in Isaiah.
Yeah.
And so this is a the Son of Man must be lifted up. Well, how is that going to happen? And who is this Son of Man? Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while, you have the light. Well, over and over, he's talked to them about walking in the light and not in the darkness. He said, in the darkness, you can stumble and fall. You can hurt yourself. Then here he is again, yet a little while. You have the light. Well, just a little while you're going to have the light and then you're not going to have it with you. Walk while you, or ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. That should have stirred some of them imagination to the fact that Jesus is the light. He's the light of the world. He has provided mankind with light here for a little over 4,000 years when he created Adam out of the dust of the earth. But he put the stars and the moon and the sun, all the things up there that they needed. It told the story of God and the story of the stars, and he gave that to them. That didn't get very far, evidently, with them, because they just turned away from that. And somebody come along and said, well, we'll put our story up here. We'll build a tower up to the heavens. Well, they didn't know at that point. You can't get very far if you start running out of this precious commodity of air that's got oxygen in it. And But they went to do it anyway because they wanted to put something out there rather than what they did. And it says, verse 35, for he waiteth, he walketh in darkness, knowing not where he goeth. So this is another thing that Satan put in place to keep mankind's eyes closed, the fact that God was doing these miraculous things, piece by piece by piece by piece. In verse 36 says this, while ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may become the children or the sons of light. And you can find that in the app 105. These things spake Jesus and departed and did hide himself or was hidden from or away from them and the Greeks in verse 20. That's just where I had planned to get to last time, and we just didn't have the time to get through it. So that completes my little book. Large part of Luke and 12 chapters of the book of John. But I started on another book. Not John, but we're going to finish. We're going to go on in John, but I had to go a few pages because I had already made some notes in this one, but we're going on. We get down to verse 37. In verse 37 says this, but though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, talking about Jesus. And it ended there with a full stop. Miracles, signs, if you will, things that they should have known, things that would have told them that this man had been going around saying, I and the Father are one, are really that. We didn't come to persuade somebody to believe something else, but the man was already there to do that. He had been there anyway. May not be there now, but he had been. But he got a trip out of town, so to speak. Talking about signs before in the presence of especially those of 1 Thessalonians 2:3 and 2:19. And them, yea, they believe not on him. They were in his presence. He had done many miracles and signs, and they had all this there. They were people there that had seen Lazarus come out of the grave. They had been there in many things. If they just opened their eyes, they could have, but, well, they were blinded. They were blinded to the fact as to who he was and why he was there. And so it was it was something that, like the little puzzles you could throw out on the table, start putting it together, it was something you had to contend with. That the saying or the logos in verse 38. Note the mark. Note on mark 9:32. We need to turn there. We will in a minute. But let's, and if you want, if you got a companion Bible, it's on page 1404 in the companion Bible. And the word there is what we mentioned a while ago, the word rhema. First time it is thus rendered evidently in John. And rhema denotes a word saying or a sentence in its outward form. It's made up of words, i.e. it literally is parts of speech. Now, logos denotes a word or saying as the expression of thoughts. The thing spoken or written, hence, the account made the reality of a former quote. So somewhere in scripture it had been written in a quote, and somebody had written it down, and it was Isaiah. But let's go back and look at this again a little bit. Let's go back to Mark, page 1404. I believe I've got that. Too many things to mark that you already. Yeah, Mark 9. Okay, in Mark 9, 32. Mark 9, 32. Let's read 31. For he taught his disciples and said unto them, and the question that we had just heard that had been asked, talking about who is this Son of Man? It says, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day. Oh. But they understood not that saying, and they were afraid to ask of him, because they had never seen this. And they maybe have never heard this. It's
something new.
But it's something brand new. And that just blows their mind. And so, but they got, and so the question that they should have in their mind, well, is this the Son of Man that we're talking about? Is this the one that says he and the Father are one? Or were they too blind to see that? And so this is the reason rhema was used there rather than words, but I think this really opened their eyes a little bit more. And it says, logos denotes a word or saying as the expression of thoughts. Hence the thing spoken or written. Hence the account made the reality of a former quote. So they pretty knew by that time that, it's written somewhere, but we don't know where. We haven't looked at it that way, or we haven't looked at it. We haven't looked at God's word that much been given to us in the law that, we just didn't get it. Verse 38, it continues this thing right on down the line. It says, okay, that the saying of Elias, or the given form for Isaiah, the prophet, might be fulfilled, which he spoke. Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? And it says, the arm of the Lord been revealed equals Messiah. Because this is what Isaiah said. As the executant of his degrees. Okay, so let's go to Isaiah 51 and 52 for a minute. Isaiah 51 and 52. Okay. I'm going to go to Isaiah 51 first. We're going to read that's on page 996 if you have a companion Bible. Looking at it in there. Okay. Yeah. It says this, for the moth shall eat them up like a garment, and the worm shall eat them like wool. But my righteousness shall be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation. And so that is Isaiah 51, 8 and 9. And then we go to 52, verse 10. And if you have a companion Bible, all you got to do is turn one page. And in 52:10, it says this. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Now, let's go back just a minute after we read them two things. Let's go back to Isaiah 49 and read verse 1 and 2. We're just right there almost at it. So Isaiah 49. All we have to do is go back a couple of pages. Well, my thing is getting old. Okay. It's on page 993. Yeah. Let's go back to 1 and 2. He said, listen, O wives, unto me, and hearken, ye people from far. The Lord hath called me from the womb, from the bowels of my mother, hath he made mention of my name, and he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand hath he hid me and made me a polished shaft in his quiver hath he hid me. Hmm. He said, I'm like a shaft in a quiver of arrows. And when I am used, then you can see the difference.
He's got the sharp sword out of his mouth there too.
Yeah. It can come out of his mouth. It can come any way that he so desires it to come, because he is there way back in Isaiah 2. This was some 600 and some few years before these events have taken place.
Something.
And he has been there, and he has made that possible, that they could see it if they could just open their eyes and could understand. But that is not quite the way it works, okay? Hence, the things spoken or written, the accounts made the reality on a former what? Man, it is so great. Then we get to verse 38. It says that the saying of Elias, the prophet, might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Messiah as the executant of his decrees. When he puts out the word that it's going to happen, it's going to happen. You may not see it in your lifetime, but your ancestors might see it. And that's the reason, probably the only reason, why genealogies was very important, especially in the early days there, because people were living 500, 600, 700, 800 years. And, you know, if you have been born during those times when Adam was, and some of the others were still living, even Noah, you know, Noah lived to the, and built the ark, and then waited until it rained. It never rained until it rained, and Methuselah had been told that it would rain. And the water had never come to the earth like that. It was always a dew coming up, or a coming forth of light. Maybe if it was hot, it'd probably be like steamy, like warm. But there you are. I mean, God provided all these things. Then verse 39 says, therefore, What's therefore, therefore? Therefore is there in recalling back to what we had just read. They could have believed because that Isaiah said again. Then when you look at 40, he said, he has blinded their eyes and had hardened their hearts, that they should not see, would not be able to see with their eyes, don't understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. And this is a quote from Isaiah 6:9-10.
Same thing you hear at Acts 28.
Yeah, and it was used more times than just here.
Yep.
So, you know, when you look at it, you really read the notes and you make it come real within you to sit here and say, well, why in the world couldn't they see it? Well, if they had tried, they could have done it, but they didn't do it because God was always willing that none would be lost, but yet people would not believe. And even when they heard him and saw him, still didn't believe to a great extent. I mean, it was like, I can't believe this. I just can't believe it. Then we get to 41 and said, these things to his eyes. When? The word Hody. And Hody became glory in the Greek. And in the Greek, I don't know if that was Greek then or not, but, and then doxa, the characteristic word in John's gospel. They spoke of him. All that spoke of him, meaning the Son of Man. Because even another word there that hadn't been used very much, when it was turned into doxa, it became a characteristic word in John's gospel. And it said they spoke of him, calling him the Son of Man. It was lots of times, over and over and over and over. It was, you look at some of these companion sides in God's Word, and you look, you see and realize that, man, it would take you 30 minutes to go through a lot of them to catch them, because used to, you know, when we would do Jack Everly's stuff, and he would have a word like that, and he'd have about 10 or 12 places. By the time you got to, that's as far as you can, and you study. But he put it down and put it out that way. Okay. I've lost my place now. Let me get back to John. Well, back to John 12. Okay. It says 42:42. You gotta turn the page. I always have to turn the page. It says, these are 41. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. Of course, spake of him Whenever they realized that, yeah, this could be the man. And it says in 42, nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on him. Way, boy, I bet that got him a little warm under the collar. So that was with the chief rulers believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue.
Yep, that was a good way to lose your position.
Yep. Yeah. He said, well, yeah, we could believe this, but we're going to lose a lot here. It's like, well, we're in a twin rock and hard place. If we believe it, we're going to lose.
Well, the next verse.
Don't believe it, we're going to lose.
The next verse explains it perfectly. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God.
Yeah.
You can see where their hearts and their minds were.
Absolutely.
It was all on the present world and not on the things of God.
Yep. Yep. They could not believe it.
Not to skip ahead too far.
That's all right. That's all right. The 42 said, or 43 said, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. That's just the way they were. And that was the reason they were in the position that they were in at this time in their being there, because they wound up being there for seeing Christ go to the cross.
Amen.
Absolutely. Oh, it says, and because the Pharisees did not confess him, lest they should be put out of their synagogue. Or become excommunicated. Or Apo, son of Gugo. So 44. Down to 45. 44 and 45 kind of go together. Here we have some believing and we have some unbelieving. Jesus cried and said, he that believeth, faith in the Lord does not rest in him, but is passed on to recognize that he is the manifestation of the Father. If we go back to John 1:14, and then John 1:18, and then John 3:33, we can see that come to truth. So let's just do that. We'll stop there. But turn back to John 1. And it shouldn't be hard to find. Okay, John 1:13. Did I get that right? Let's see.
I think it was 14.
John 1:14.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Okay. And it said, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Wow. Full of grace and truth. Then you gotta turn the page If you got a companion Bible, we'll see verse 18. It said, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Okay, now, there was another one that went with that. This was John 3:33. You'll go another page or two. And you'll get to John 3:32. And what he hath seen and heard in 32, that he testifieth, and no man receive his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, full stop. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. Now, you see, it wasn't in the Son to reveal all things, but it was in the Father to give revelation that it could be. And so, the Son turns around and says, and we'll just say this for the skinny second to say that what Jesus came to do at this point was to do what he came to do, to give up his life. But he didn't come to judge anybody at this time. That's going to be later.
Yeah.
But he will come and do
that. Judgment, yeah.
And as far as judging goes, but so that's a good place to stop there and to realize, well, yeah, we can look forward to seeing more words that he is going to put forth that we can grasp and hold and see and bring to bear on this thing, because time's getting short. A day and a half now, the going into this situation.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the fact is, he makes it quite clear that he didn't come to judge, but yeah, he would do the part for the Son of Man. He's already said how his death would be. So that's, man, I don't know if they could take heart to that or not, but when he stated how he was going to be put to death, it wasn't going to be from stoning.
Yeah.
Wasn't going to be from stoning. Not a bone of his body would be broken.
Amen.
So we'll go on with it if we, Lord willing.